Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I interview military veterans about their civilian career. Today is episode number 99 with Jacob Martinez.
At that point, we had about 25 employees, and things seemed to be going good. And then the financial markets crashed. We went into a very deep, deep recession right after I took over as president. So for a few years, we had to weather the storm, and it was a very difficult time. But I actually do credit a lot of it to the military for what I was taught. So when the tough times came, I didn't start running. I just buckled down, dug my heels in, and said that, you know, I'm smarter than this recession.
Well, I know it's not wise to play favorites, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is one of my favorite conversations to date. One of the reasons for that is I really think that every single listener is going to walk away with a handful of tips that you can apply to whatever you're doing right now. Jacob is a really incredible guy. One of the things I really admire about him is that he was a sergeant in the military. He decided not to go and use his GI Bill for college right after he served in the Army. He instead joined an 8-person team that was a family company. And you'll see he is, more than anyone I've ever met, so committed to lifelong learning and lifelong growth. Rather than just going to college, he has gone to conferences and seminars and read books in a way that I envy. I learned so much from this interview. And the proof is in the pudding. He grew that 8-person company to over 200 employees, over 1,200% growth in revenue. And they are now listed on Inc.'s list of the fastest growing companies in America. They are number 592, as well as listed as one of the best places to work in Florida and in Orlando where they're at. So whether you're on active duty, whether you transitioned 20 years ago, I know you're going to learn something from this interview, and I know I learned a lot as well. A couple notes. For those of you interested in Market Traders, this is the company that Jacob runs. This is a resource where you can learn whether or not you'd be interested in investing, whether or not you'd be interested in the Forex market. Although their resources are about $4,000 to $8,000 on their website, Jacob made himself available. I will put in the show notes his email address. And if you're interested, he's open to talking to you, learning more, and potentially providing a discount, pretty extreme discount for you to get your feet wet and see if this is something you'd be interested in, whether it's just personal growth or whether it's actually a potential career or side income. As always, special thanks to our sponsors, Audible.com. If you go to beyondtheuniform.io/books, you'll find a list of every single book recommended on the show, as well as a link. If you click on that link, you'll be taken to Audible.com, where you will get one free audiobook. No strings attached, one free audiobook, and Beyond the Uniform gets a little bit of money to help support the show. I listen to audiobooks all the time on the go. Lots of recommendations you've heard on the show. It's a great way to use net time or no extra time to increase your knowledge. And I'm sure after listening to this interview, you are going to be fired up and hungry to increase your knowledge no matter where you're at and what you're doing. So with that, let's dive in to my interview with the president of Market Traders Institute. You can find them at markettraders.com. My interview with Jacob Martinez. Well, joining me today in Orlando, Florida is Jacob Martinez. Jacob, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Well, thanks for having me today, Justin. It's an honor to be interviewed by you.
Well, for listeners, I want to give you a quick background on Jacob. He's the president of Market Traders Institute, which is a trading technology and education company with about 200 employees. Jacob started out in the Army, where he served for 4.5 years in military intelligence, achieving the rank of sergeant. He started out at Market Traders Institute as vice president of managed accounts and has held virtually every position in the company since becoming president. So, Jacob, I guess just to start off, anything to add or amend to that introduction?
No, that sounds about right. You know, when you join a small company and grow to a rather large company in a short period of time, you tend to fill every position, whether out of choice or necessity. So great introduction. Thank you.
Of course. Well, let me start with a simple one. If you were talking to someone on active duty, how would you explain what you do for a living?
Well, you gave a great introduction, which is we are involved in investor education and trading technology. But what that really means is we teach people how to trade financial markets. Specifically, we focus on the Forex market, which is exchanging money. For a soldier, and I can relate to this, is when I was deployed, we would stop into Germany before we flew into Afghanistan, and there was an exchange rate. And so my dollar was only worth, you know, a little bit of the euro. But when I came back from Afghanistan, we stopped again in Germany, and my dollar was worth a different amount. And so what we do is we teach people how to do that all online, but how to do it for a profit, of exchanging money online. So you're not physically taking briefcases of money, but you're doing it in the sense, it's kind of like trading the stock market.
That's awesome. It's, I mean, I think one of the many things that's exciting about what you do is that, you know, there's many companies in this category, but let's say like Uber and Lyft and what you're doing, you're literally taking people and giving them either a supplemental income stream, or I imagine in some cases this becomes people's full-time job. And so it must be so rewarding and fulfilling to feel like you are giving people a second career or giving people a way to find financial freedom through this additional skill.
Yeah, that absolutely. Thank you. It is very rewarding. Matter of fact, when we bring on clients, we don't even say, "Oh, we brought on a client," or "We sold another product." We actually say we changed someone's life. Our core focus, we have it printed up on the walls here in our organization. It says we are here to change people's lives through empowerment. So we want to go a step further, just even beyond just let me give you a trading strategy or some sort of way to make an income. We actually want to change your life. We want to empower you. As the old saying says, we don't want to give you a fish, we want to teach you how to fish. And that's been our focus. And because we've been overall pretty successful at this, we see about a 100% edge on the market. So what that means is the average person who trades on the Forex market, according to regulated documents that are posted from brokerage firms, only about 30% of them make money. Our clients, through internal polling and as well as surveying, come out at about 57 to 61% of them are making money, which if you go out basically says for us internally, it gives us a lot of drive to say we truly do make a difference in giving people the ability to make an income on the Forex market.
That's awesome. Well, I want to switch gears and kind of talk about your road to this point and how you got there. But for listeners, I did want to give context because so Jacob's story, as he'll tell, is about a family business. And some people have preconceptions about, you know, family business. You may know someone who's done that. One of the things that makes Jacob's story so remarkable is what he has done with market traders as he's been president. And I'm wondering, whatever you're comfortable sharing, Jacob, I'd love just to give listeners a context of, since you took over as president, how much the company has grown, because it's really incredible.
Well, yeah, thank you. Well, if you don't mind to let me tell a little history on not just our growth, but kind of how we got there. My father started the company back in 1994, and from 1994 to 2004, he was able to grow it, to about 8 employees, and which is great, and it provided an income for our family, and it was something that worked. We were, I wouldn't say by any way, shape, or form, we were rich, but we weren't poor anymore. So as I left the military, I was given the opportunity to join a small organization of like 8 people. And I kind of seized that opportunity. And I took what I learned in the military of process and structure. And I think what I did good is I instilled that in my father's company. And within a few years, I had, when you're a small company, you've only about 8 people, you tend to do or work in just about every position. So I worked in just about every position to understand it and figure out how can we put structure in place. We put some structure in place, ultimately grew it to about 25 people. And I kind of proved my worth, I guess, at that point, and was offered the opportunity to become president of the company in late 2007. At that point, we had about 25 employees, and things seemed to be going good. And then the financial markets crashed. We went into a very deep, deep recession right after I took over as president. So for a few years, we had to weather the storm, and it was a very difficult time. But because of, I actually do credit a lot of it to the military about what I was taught, a lot of it in terms of being committed, having clear understanding of leadership, and having a focus of where I'm truly trying to go. And so when the tough times came, I didn't start running. I just, you know, kind of buckled down, dug my heels in, and said that, you know, I'm smarter than this recession. And tried to instill that in our other team members as well, to say, I mean, it's scary, but we will get through this. So from 2008 to 2011, it was a non-growth. We didn't grow at all. Matter of fact, we retraced and we did everything we could to survive. But by the time 2011 came, we came out of it, we had realized that, you know, we figured this out, and we were on the path to growth to where we sit today. Since 2011, we've grown about 1,250% in terms of revenue. We've grown from 25 team members to 200 team members. We were listed last year, and we're hoping to get it again this year, but we're listed on the Inc. 5000's fastest growing company. We're number 592, almost breaking into Inc. 500, as well as along the way, we've tried to manage a proper work-life balance, because that type of growth can be very stressful. And so fortunately enough, we've been recognized on several different publications as one of the best places to work, if not in the top 10 best places to work here in Florida. So it's been a tough road, but it's been a great road, and you know, we've seen tremendous success from it by staying focused.
It's, I mean, any one of those accomplishments, I think, would be incredible. And I'm not trying to blow smoke here, but like, as someone who is running a company, I've always talked with peer entrepreneurs, and we talk about, like, okay, going from 2 people to 20 people is one skill set, but then going from 20 to like 50, completely different, and 50 to 100, completely different, and 100 to 200, completely different. And so one of the things I really admire about your story is how you've been able to continuously evolve and adapt, because you've essentially, although you've been at Market Traders, in my perspective, you've essentially run probably 5 different organizations. You know, the organization 2008 to 2011, when you were in this financial collapse, was very different than it is today. And so I think it's really incredible that you've been able to adapt and continuously grow, continuously challenge yourself and your management team to keep this momentum going.
Well, thank you. I would say, what you just described is 100% accurate. I actually talk about it here internally that we constantly have to reinvent ourselves, because the set of problems and opportunities you have at 25 team members are completely different. And I remember when we broke 100 team members for the first time, and I thought this was amazing, and I thought it was the best it could ever get. But then as I took a step back, I really said, no, this is just the beginning. Just like the 20, when we had 8 employees, it was just the beginning. And here we sit at 200 team members with massive growth. And I sit back and remind myself, no, this is still just the beginning. There's so much opportunity ahead of us. But that can only, and because I've been at the helm the entire time of this massive growth, you're right. We are a different organization today. And what I teach my staff is that what was important to us and what we tracked a year ago isn't important to us today. And what we're tracking and what we're monitoring today will no longer be important to us in the future. And the only way we know how to do this, or we know what to track, is with constant learning. Because when we're learning more information and we're growing ourselves, one of our core values, matter of fact, is grow or die. And that doesn't mean grow your revenue. That means grow yourself professionally and personally. Because when you grow your knowledge base and you grow yourself, you're able to adapt to new market conditions, or as you described it, a new company. Because when we have 300 team members and 400 team members, we will be a different company than we are today. We may be selling similar products, but in terms of problems and opportunities, they will be completely different. Does that make sense?
Yeah, this is great. And I just want to re-articulate this for listeners. I thought that was so great, and one-on-one talking, you've told me this before, and it's been very, very helpful for Storybox. But I love what you said. What was important to us and what we tracked a year ago isn't important today, and what we're monitoring today won't be important in the future. And that commitment to constant growth, personal and professional, is what makes the distinction between continuously evolving. And, you know, when I think of you, Jacob, that's one of the hallmarks of how I view you is, you know, in contrast, in some ways, I feel like I went to business school, I had this incredible experience, and that almost stopped my process of learning. And then in entrepreneurship, it was almost just learning through mistakes. And when I met you and my wife met you, and as we've gotten to know you, I really admire how you have committed to continuous growth. And one of the things that I was so excited to learn about from you, to jump a little bit ahead, was some of the things that have helped you grow, whether that's books, whether that's conferences, but different resources that have helped you that might help listeners as well.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think the key to my success and the key to our company's success is the commitment to growth and the commitment to learning. Some people may argue with me, but I read many years ago in a book and that said, success is a journey, it's not a destination. And I bought into that. And when you take that saying and you adapt it to business, success really, you're never going to reach quote unquote success. It's always going to be a journey. It's constant evolution. And the only way to push that journey forward is through learning. See, I look at it, and about 5 years ago, I had some internal, as I talked before, there's different problems and opportunities. One of the problems we faced was I had some staff that were saying we don't have a strategy. Yet in my head, we had a perfectly clear strategy. So I had to put together an entire presentation for the staff and help them understand what is our growth strategy. And the overriding theme was, we don't want to be first, but we sure as heck don't want to be third. And what that says is, there's a lot of successful businesses and people in this world. Why try to constantly reinvent the wheel? Go get a mentor. Go learn from successful people. And that's what I've done. I've made it a mission. One of the things we talked about before, Justin, is that I don't have a college degree. I tried college. I've gone to three different colleges, and, you know, in terms of trying to get a degree, just didn't work out for me. But I love to learn. So I stayed focused and committed to learning. I try to read a book a month. I'll give you some books here in just a minute. And the reason behind that is not because it sounds cool, is because I read a study that said the average human, or average American, excuse me, reads one book a year. I'd argue it's less than that, but that's the average. So if I were to read one book a month compared to their one book a year, and I fast forwarded 5 years, I've read 60 books, where the average person would have read 5 books. And I don't mean go read your romance novels, I mean business books, things that are gonna help grow me. If you take my 60 books and the knowledge I have gained over that 5 years and compare it to someone who's read 5, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that my knowledge is going to be vastly superior and now make me a much more competitive person or leader. So that's the biggest thing. One of the biggest things I'd say is books in terms of learning. Recommendations I would give. I'm a huge fan of John Maxwell. So he's a leader. He teaches leadership. Just about every single one of his books is about leadership. And the top three, and I've put a lot of time into this, is Leadership Gold, The 360 Degree Leader, and The 12 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. See, there's in our world, there's really no shortage of, or excuse me, there's never any time where you're gonna have too many leaders. You can never get into a position and say, oh, wow, I don't want to learn about being a leader. I don't want to be a leader. There's already too many. That's virtually impossible. So staying focused on developing your leadership only does great things for you and your company. It's going to create opportunity for you. But I also realized that when you learn something new, you start to change. So along the way, there's another book I would highly recommend, which is written by Spencer Johnson, and it's called Who Moved My Cheese? I would say I've probably read that book at least 10 to 12 times over my career. And it's a short, quick read, but it talks about change and teaching about change. because the people who refuse change or fight change, they can't grow, because the only way to grow is to change. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's great. And for listeners, I'm adding all of these in the show notes. You'll find links to everything Jacob recommends and mentions here.
I would say, and beyond that is any sort of conferences that are going to develop that I've found beneficial to me and to my staff, is any sort of conference, whether it's an industry conference or some sort of leadership conference. Things that I found particularly good is I went to recently a Tony Robbins business mastery. It's pretty pricey, but the knowledge gained out of it has been tremendous. Actually, as you know, that's where I met your wife and kind of what kickstarted this whole relationship. So I'd say the business mastery, you've been to several of them, or several Tony Robbins events. Any industry focused events, I've been to several Stephen Covey, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People conferences. And then getting into training programs, I would say it's something I've already recommended. But if you're in sales, you're trying to grow your business, the only way to grow your business, or the best way, in my opinion, to grow your business, is to grow your revenue. And the only way to grow your revenue is to grow your knowledge. So to learn, or to go find people who teach how to grow revenue, such as Cardone University, it's an entire sales development website program, so on and so forth, that actually teaches sales skills. I've been to Karas School of Negotiation, written by Dr. Karas, and that kind of speaks for itself. It's an amazing training program. We also subscribe to a lot of Fred Pryor seminars, where we regularly send our staff to. They're 4 to 6 hour classes. They're normally held in local hotels or online, and they're great programs to constantly develop yourself. And I also will talk about one of our products really quick, and not necessarily talk about our products, but to say, if you're going to learn to trade the Forex, just as I want to become a better leader, I have to read books, I have to go to conferences, I have to take training programs. If you're going to learn to trade the Forex, you need training programs as well. And so what we have is actually a lot of Forex foundation courses you can find on our website. But go get mentored that way. Constantly learn, and apply what you're learning.
Oh, man, this is great. And I'm going to update the notes at beyondtheuniform.io to include all of this. There's so many things to talk about here. I think the first thing that just jumps out, one of the things I love is that not only is this great advice for anyone, but I think it's so authentic to what you're doing as a company. Like, you are teaching people, you are helping them learn something and grow, and you are also embodying that as you are learning about different things that help you and your company and your team. So I love that, just the authenticity of what you do and how aligned it is with your work. And I just wanted to give a personal plug. So you had recommended in a previous conversation the Cardone University. For anyone listening, just as one example of this. So this is all about sales training. There are videos that are like 5-minute videos, and there are thousands of them on different topics related to sales. And one of the things I appreciated about this is that in the last 7 to 8 years with Storybox, like, I have sold to Budweiser, Intuit, I've sold $100,000 contracts. Everything I've done has been just kind of through brute force. And what I was appreciating as I watch these videos, I make it a goal to watch at least 3 a day, is just all the things I never knew, all the little tiny things that are helping my performance as I'm still selling. So I think that's a great example. I think the price is like $1,000 to $1,500, well worth it for a year of using this and learning. And the Tony Robbins one that you talked about with Business Mastery, one of the things I love about these conferences is, I think that Business Mastery one was 4 or 5 days. It's the equivalent, it felt for me like the equivalent of reading 20 books. It's just an instant injection. It feels like steroids for increasing your knowledge. And he talks a lot about the psychology of business and how important that is. And so I think for both of those things, it's a great conference. But I'll have links to the other ones in there. This is great. One thing I was going to ask about with Jacob is, you've told my wife and I before about how you've ingrained this book culture at your company. And I wonder if you could just talk about how you've kept books a priority for your management team.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we do is what's called the book club. And it's even though it's called The Book Club, now there are several book clubs. And it actually started years, I believe a couple years even before I started with the company. But my father used to once a week pull all the actually shut the whole company down for about an hour. We'd go into the boardroom and we would discuss specific chapters of a book we were reading. And at first I thought that was kind of quirky of, you know, we have to read a book and we're here, you know, in business and we have to sit in a boardroom and we have to talk to everybody about what we learned in the book. It's kind of seemed a little weird. Keep in mind, prior to that, I had probably read one book my entire life. So I fell into the average or probably below average in terms of learning through books prior to that. Well, fast forward in time and got through the first book, second book, third book, and realized, wow, I may not memorize the books, but the one to two, the maybe five little nuggets out of each book is that I'm applying is actually making a difference in the business as well as my personal income. And, you know, this is pretty neat. So we continued this tradition and inadvertently we actually stopped it on accident during the recession. And that was one of the things after about 8 months of not doing it, you know, I was sitting back in my chair and realizing, what have we done differently? And that came to mind and said, well, we stopped our book clubs, therefore we stopped learning. And if we stop learning, what are we doing differently? And definition of insanity is doing the same thing over again, expecting different results. So I'll fast forward to today, we have several book clubs. I lead a book club every single week. We go in as executive team and we discuss the chapter that was that we're reading in a particular book. Then I ask my executives and then their managers to actually hold their own book club. And I ask that their books pertain to whether it be leadership or some sort of technical skill inside of their department, because I realize that unless we kind of, I don't want to use the word force, but highly encourage people to read and put it on the calendar, life gets in the way. And so we judge ourselves by intentions, but we judge others by their actions. And so what happens is our own intentions, we look at ourselves and say, well, my intentions are good, I just ran out of time. But from an outsider looking in, the action is I just didn't read. So when you put it on the calendar and get everyone together, it kind of forces you to read, it forces us to read and forces us to grow and forces us to apply that knowledge here in our company. And it's, as you said, it's a staple in our company now that anyone who works at MTI knows that there is a book club and it's not something that we have to do. It's something that we enjoy doing because we enjoy the fruits of the material that we learn from.
I mean, even the learning aside, the subconscious, I think that the subconscious impact of setting this routine of like, I am committed to growing, I'm committed to learning. I think even that in and of itself would have a big impact on anyone's mindset of approaching each week with this thought of moving forward. And I know Tony Robbins talks about this a lot, but like growth is fulfillment. When you're growing, you're fulfilled. And I have noticed that. I've noticed that with like the Grant Cardone videos. Like it feels cheesy sometimes watching these sales videos for 15 to 20 minutes a day, but I really enjoy being able to apply that to each sales call. And that feeling of growth that you get from something like a book club, I think really would add to people's fulfillment inside and outside of work.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, it's very rewarding. We're currently reading a book called Danger in the Comfort Zone. Actually, I have on my desk right here, Judith Bardwick. It's a little bit older book, but it's it really breaks down the different levels of entitlement, the earning zone and fear zone, and talks about the danger in each one by living in the comfort zone. And one of the things that I'll add that's not really in this particular book, but is saying that, you know, you really can't learn in the comfort zone and you can't learn in the danger zone, but where you actually learn is in the uncomfort zone. And putting yourself just on the brink of danger or fear, but which is directly outside of comfort, and that's where you grow. I learned recently in a conference, I'm a member of a group called Vistage, and that's where I meet monthly with local CEOs and business owners, company presidents and executives. And we had a speaker, and the speaker was talking about company culture, and somebody asked a question and said, but don't you want, you know, harmony at all the times? And the speaker said, no, that's exactly what you don't want. Harmony doesn't create growth. Disharmony creates growth. And when I look back in my life and said, wow, every time we had a major breakthrough was because we were in disharmony. We had these breakthroughs because something wasn't going good. And it forced us to come together and to look at things differently, to gain a new piece of knowledge and to try something new, which created a major breakthrough. And I said, wow, if everything was harmonious all the time, would we have put that kind of effort into growing ourselves or our business? And I can tell you with 100% certainty, the answer is no. So I've learned that healthy fear and living in that uncomfort zone is actually a really, really good thing for business and for business growth and for professional growth, because it's going to feel uncomfortable, but that uncomfortness will force the growth.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I love that thought of skirting the line between what's comfortable and what's dangerous. And I've seen that as well. Like every major period of growth in my life came when I was like just outside of my comfort zone, when I was in that area where I didn't feel exactly safe. I didn't feel, you know, in peril, but it was like doing something that I was not really that comfortable with. And I love the resources you mentioned, because I imagine, at least from my own experience, these are ways to systematize getting out of your comfort zone, like looking at things differently. There were many moments at the Tony Robbins conference where I felt very uncomfortable. I was doing things I hadn't done before. You're like jumping up and down, or you're sharing things, or you're looking at things from different perspectives. And if you let go and just kind of go with it, and you let go of it being self-conscious, you get out of that comfort zone. So I imagine these programs, these books, these conferences do a good job of just building in a routine of getting uncomfortable.
Yes, I would 100% agree with you.
Could you share any story that comes to mind about a challenge of either growing a family business or just growing a company in general? I know this kind of sounds like an interview question, but I think it's interesting to think of like the challenges you've faced to give veteran listeners a feel for what it's like in your shoes, but also what you take away from that challenge or that intense period.
Well, Justin, that is a great question. I would say I've faced many, many challenges in growing. A lot of my challenges, I think, have been internal challenges and struggles internally with me and the way I've viewed myself of not being able to live up to a stigma that someone else has placed on me. So, you know, to speak to that may be difficult for other people to understand or even for you to understand. But in terms of company challenges, I think every day I come to work and I face challenges, whether it be a challenge of a personnel. And as I say at my level at this point, I'm not in the business really of selling trading technology and investor education. I'm really in the people business. And so my challenges are people challenges. When you have 200 people, you know, there's you know, at any given moment, I read a study that said any given moment, about 30% of the world is facing some sort of major crisis, and generally major personal crisis. And when you think about that, that means 60 of my team members are facing some sort of personal crisis, whether it be a death in the family, a divorce, family, a loss of income, a spouse loss of income, a extremely sick child, a birth coming up. I mean, all kinds of things coming on. And so I'd say those are some of the biggest challenges that actually mean the most. And what I've done is to help ground myself as a leader, is to help me understand and help other people understand, is that business isn't about money. It really isn't. Business is about people, and business is about developing people. Leadership is about developing people, and that was a mindset shift that I had to learn from when I joined, from an outsider who'd never really been in business, been in the military. I was in the military prior to working here and going into business. I had this belief of what business is: cutthroat, what you learn at what you watch in the movies of, you know, Wall Street, things like that. And that's truly not what a successful business is. And when you back out and say it's a successful business is about people and helping people, growing people, your that challenge, that I guess I'm talking about now becomes opportunity, an opportunity to make an impact in my people's and my team's lives. And when you make that impact, ultimately everyone becomes loyal and you become, as we say, a family. And a family doesn't mean, oh, by the way, just accept mediocrity. Being a family means being accountable to each other and caring about and have compassion for each other and caring about each other's problems, but also being accountable to working together to collectively accomplish the same mission. Does that help at all?
Yeah, no, this is great. I was just taking notes on that. Another thing I wanted to ask about, so at the very start, you said one of the biggest challenges has been internal, the struggle of how to view yourself. I 1,000% echo that. I think one of the things that resonated most from that Business Mastery Conference was when Tony Robbins said, business is 80% psychology, 20% skills, which completely resonates with my experience. And I noticed that most of the biggest challenges for me are looking at different people and seeing like, oh, they're more successful, or reading in TechCrunch and saying like, oh, this company has like taken off and exploded. What am I doing with my life? And I think those are the things that really undermine my productivity and undermine my effectiveness. And one of the things I'd wanted to ask about with that is, my experience, and I imagine yours too, is that startups and growing a company is such an emotional roller coaster. It's so many ups and downs. And I'm wondering if you have any advice for veterans who may be running their own company about how, you know, things that have helped you maintain stability, maintain an even keel, even when the world around you is shifting, or the company and everything, all these dynamics are in fluctuation.
Well, I think I can. I would say you have to put things into perspective. Just as I just said before, about 30% of the world at any given moment is living in a sort of a major crisis. That also, I'm not immune to that. I've had my fair share of major crises as well. And I would say putting things into perspective. I've had a lot of challenges. I did 2 tours in Afghanistan. I was a paratrooper. I fractured one of my vertebrae. I ended up getting medically discharged from it. I got injured on one of the jumps, a training jump here. But when I look at those types of challenges that the military faces versus business challenges, I can't even put them into the same bucket. And so that helps me when I look at putting things in perspective, is saying, okay, this challenge is it's nothing compared to what other people are facing. And sometimes it's bigger, but if I can take a step back and say it's smaller, it helped me understand, I can come to solutions easier. The fable of Chicken Little, the sky's falling. The sky's never falling, right? It's not going to fall. You may think it's falling at that moment, but when you take a step back and evaluate the situation, it's not falling, and you can come to solutions a lot easier. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I love that. I think that's true. I love the perspective. And I notice for myself that when I'm most paralyzed by fear, when I'm least effective in my job, it comes because this problem has grown to this gigantic proportion. And I love that thought of putting things in perspective of what others are going through, or what even I've gone through in the past, and realizing the sky is not falling. And I think that does bleed off some of the pressure that then allows creativity to flow back in and for you to actually figure out an actual solution.
I would add one other item on there is to get a mentor. A mentor, and Tony Robbins really helped me really define a mentor. I always thought a mentor is one person, but get several mentors. There's no such thing as a perfect mentor. You know, depending on the crisis or the challenge you're dealing with, you have a particular mentor. And the mentor, what I've found, and sometimes it's been a family member, sometimes it's been a business colleague in my business, sometimes it's been someone outside the business, but what they do is they oftentimes help you put it into perspective, because they don't have the emotional attachment that you have. And it helps you think helps me at least think a little clearer on how to solve the problem, or how to solve the challenge, or at least gives me ideas by letting someone ask me questions about a particular problem. I will admit it's someone who has an ego such as myself, and it's been bigger way in the past. I've been humbled many times. But someone with an ego, finding a mentor can be challenging, into exposing your vulnerabilities that somebody else can feel uncomfortable. And that goes back to the uncomfort zone. But when you truly let loose and you truly allow someone else into your life, no matter how embarrassing or troubling the problem may be, whether it be money problems, marital problems, relationship problems, business colleague problems, when you let go of that fear, and oftentimes you get out, as what I say, you get out of the, you get out of hell a lot faster.
I think that's true. I think that's such a great example of getting out of your comfort zone, is that vulnerability. And I'm just thinking of like some of the most powerful moments in entrepreneurship have been, I think there's this temptation when you're around other entrepreneurs to kind of make everything in an Instagram, make every photo perfect and look everything amazing. And then there's been times when I'm, maybe having a beer with someone or sitting down, and it's just like, this is really shitty. This is really hard right now. And you see the veil on both sides just kind of drop. And then there's that connection and there's that learning and there's like so much growth that comes from that vulnerability. So I love that thought of like that, like you talked about with using a mentor, being vulnerable with them, getting out of your comfort zone, and that can help you get out of that hell a lot quicker.
Yeah.
What about one of the things I wanted to ask about, especially for veterans thinking of joining a growing company, or maybe even listeners who are already running their own company, you talked about systematizing things within your company. And I wonder if you have any advice or stories or thoughts around that, of ways in which you've tried to create systems in everything you've done and try to improve those.
Well, success, I believe success is a formula. It's not a fantasy. There's even times when you say, well, my gut feeling, that gut feeling starts with an intuition, and then you go prove it with a process or with a strategy to determine, is your gut feeling real or not. Just about everything in my organization is structured into a process. Everything we do runs through a process, and I'll give some examples of, even all the way down to the amount of money we spend. We spend X amount of dollars in marketing to get X amount of leads, and then those leads create a certain amount of webinar attendance, and those webinar attendance equal the amount of salespeople we have, and the amount of salespeople we have dictates how many sales we should be making and how many new clients we should be bringing on board. How many new clients bring aboard then literally dictates how many customer support representatives, our account representatives, our tech support, and then our number of customers then dictates how many product development staff we have, because we have to innovate. We're constantly innovating new products and new ways to trade. And so it is a structure. I brought that mindset, I believe, from the military, because when I was in the military, it's like I looked around, and as I before I even got to my first duty station, I went through 2.5 years of training. I was at Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California, and then I was in Fort Huachuca for training, and then I wrapped it up with Airborne School. So that literally took more than 2.5 years. And as I got to my first duty station, I realized, wow, I'm in a company full of people identical to me. Sure, we have some similar skills, or some skill sets a little bit different, but all in all, we have very similar skill sets. And I started reflecting and said, well, that didn't happen by chance. The military understands what they're doing. That's a process. And when you put the same person through a specific set of process, and you continue to refine that process, but you put them through over and over and over again, you're generally going to get the same results. And so kind of eureka, the light bulb came on and said, wow, business isn't this big giant feeling of, oh, maybe, how I feel today will dictate how we are today. Is no, if you process it, if you put it, create a process, and you're dedicated to the process, and there's no such thing as an end all be all process. You're constantly iterating on the process to make it better and refining the process to make it better. But when you realize that, you all of a sudden your business starts to operate, and it operates at a high efficiency, and then your clients are happier because they're going through a structured process, and it doesn't matter how we feel today. It matters how good are we adhering to our formula, And feelings do matter, don't get me wrong. I don't want to take away, because that is a crucial part, because we are humans with real human feelings. But when we come in and we with an unstructured, if we come to a business with unstructured or not very structured, we tend to have more negative feelings because that fear of the unknown of what's going to happen next takes over. And when you have a process, you eliminate that fear of the unknown. And my only caution or word of advice is to don't be so married to the process that you're so focused in on, am I following the process? Because that'll get you nowhere. But, you know, be committed to understanding that the need to, if you want to be successful, you need a formula to get there.
Yeah, I love that. I love that the formulas that you borrow from these resources, these books, these conferences, but that's one of the things that really connected with me in one of our previous conversations, was that thought of just, there's that great quote, right? It's like, in war, like planning is meaningless, but the plan is meaningless, but planning is essential. I know I'm like butchering that quote, but it's like, that was the sense I walked away with, was like having some sort of plan, having some sort of process, measuring it, improving it. And I love that you give that caveat of not being blindly married to this process, but approaching it as something that's always growing, always evolving. And I can only imagine that as market trader, as your company starts or continues to grow, those processes become so much more vital, because now you've got 200 people. You can't lead that by changing things on the fly. Like, you have to be able to systematize things and grow them. So I think that's really, really incredible.
Great. Thank you.
What advice, I know a lot of the listeners are interested in entrepreneurship or in senior leadership positions. I think a lot of veterans enjoy leading teams, and so they seek to do that in a civilian sector. What advice would you have for someone listening? Maybe they're on active duty and thinking of starting a company when they get out, or maybe they've recently transitioned and they're trying to work their way up within a company. What advice would you have for them?
Well, first I would give the advice to someone who's currently on active duty, maybe looking to transition out of the military. I found it, for me, to be, and after speaking to a lot of my military buddies, we all had very similar emotions, and it was exciting, it was sad, and it was a little bit of fearful, because as you're getting out of the military, and as I was getting out of the military, I wasn't sure exactly what I was going to do. I didn't have a college degree. I had offers to go become a contractor, to go back overseas as a contractor. I had my GI Bill and the college fund to go back to college, and I had an opportunity, not making very much money, with joining the family business that at that time was a very small family business. And so what I opted for was opportunity. I looked at it and said, you know, I could go make probably 10 times the amount of money becoming a contractor. But when I looked at my life and said, but where will I be in 15, 20 years? Is that sustainable income, or is that really short term? And for me, I looked and said, it's short term. If I want to get married eventually and have a family, like, I can't go live overseas and become a contractor. And not to mention, when the wars eventually end, I mean, those positions become eliminated. So I chose the path of opportunity. Going back to the military, or sorry, the people who are on active duties, is I would say just look for opportunity. Look for things that are outside of your comfort zone. Sometimes these smallest opportunities, like I had with my father, can become enormous. They're not all going to be that way, but don't dismiss them. Because had I dismissed them, I can tell you, I wouldn't be in the position I'm in now, which is a very rewarding position. As for someone who's already in a position and they're looking to grow, I've found through experience of working in my company, and a vast majority of all my experiences are working here, is that we don't do a very effective job at communicating what really matters. So we'll use a salesperson, for example, and we do a lot of telephone sales. So if we tell someone who's in a telephone sales position, well, hey, you should be making, you know, 80 telephone calls today, and you should be talking to 10 people today, and if you do that, you're going to make one sale. And so if today I only call 60 people and I only talk to 10 people and I make one sale, I feel like I'm not successful. I didn't meet the standard because I didn't get the 80 calls and talk to enough people. But what that comes from is that what really, not properly defining what really matters. And what really matters is that you change that person's life. And it doesn't matter if you made one phone call and changed one person's life, or 80 phone calls or 90 phone calls to change that one person's life. You got the end goal, what truly, truly matters. And why I tell that story in that, or that way, is to say, if you're currently in a position, find out what really matters. Generally, it's one or two items, and go and focus in on that. And it's called moving the rock. Figure out what you do is going to move the rock, because everything else you're doing, I learned in a book recently that says distance times force equals work. That's the old way of thinking. Excuse me, force times distance equals work, which is not true. They said really what matters is distance. Distance equals work. It doesn't matter if you put so much force into pushing on this rock and it doesn't move, right? Or if you put 90% force into pushing this rock and it moves 1 foot, that doesn't equal work. What matters is, I don't care how much force you put into pushing that rock, how far did that rock get pushed? And so the saying goes, if what you're doing is moving the rock or not. And when you realize that one, figure out what that one or two things are and start focusing on that, because that's what really matters. And that's that, at least in our company, is that's what gets you the opportunity. And that's what then puts you in the position to be able to train your staff underneath you and the people who work underneath you to help develop them of everything else is just garbage. It's not meaningless. It's called garbage. It's just not important because it's not really moving the rock.
I love that. I'll put a link in the show notes. I just recently read Deep Work by Cal Newport, who's been on the show, and that was part of what I took away from that as well. Is like there's so many different things you can do in any job, and very few of them, like you said, move the rock. And the impression I took away from reading Deep Work was that so often I focus on the force. It's like, okay, not it feels very Star Wars-esque, but the force I'm putting into something, which is like, I sent a lot of emails today. Oh, I did this a lot today. And it's like, do those things really move the needle? Are those really the things that are going to give me the distance I'm looking for? So I love that thought you have of just really distilling this to the one or two things that really move that rock forward and focusing on that. I think that's such a it's a simpler way to just really make sure that you're using the highest leverage, use of your time in each situation.
Right. One thing I would add on that, Justin, and I know I sound like I'm being very repetitive and it's not necessarily intentional, it's subconscious, but is do things, train yourself to separate yourself from other people. What I mean by that is train yourself, grow your knowledge. It's not always the company's responsibility to train the employee. What I mean by that is sometimes people, they go to an organization and they say, well, if the company doesn't have money for me to go to this conference, I'm not gonna go to the conference, and therefore, the company doesn't wanna invest in me. But when you take that personal responsibility on and say, you know what, whether the company has the budget for it or not, this is what I need to invest into myself to grow, well, then that's what I need. And when you take away the company paying versus me paying or whose responsibility, and you look at it and say, do I need this knowledge or not? And if the answer is yes, then figure out a way to get there. Figure out a way to gain that knowledge, because that's how you separate yourself. The average person will come in and say, well, the company didn't send me that conference, therefore they don't care about me, therefore they're not investing in me, therefore I'm going to stay where I'm at. And at the end of the day, the only person who gets hurt thinking that way is you. You're the person who gets hurt because you're the one that doesn't grow. And so I would add that component is to say, there's, do whatever you can, because that money that you spend on yourself is not spent, it's invested.
I think that's so spot on. And I do think, my perspective is that in the military, I think that most people, myself included, it does have an impact sometimes of being spoon-fed. Like I am kind of spoon-fed training. I go to so many different trainings in a day. If I need to know it, they're going to give me training. If not, it doesn't matter. And so I think that there's a certain reactivity that the military can instill in people. And I felt, at least for me, it had that impact at times. And so I love that thought, especially as someone emerges into the civilian world, of being proactive and accepting that responsibility and saying, like, even if the company isn't going to pay for this, I know this will make a difference. So I'm going to invest in myself, and I'm going to buy this book or this training or this conference. And even if the company's not paying for it, I know it will make me a better performer. And you're right. Most people don't do that. That's such a great way to differentiate yourself and to get ahead.
Yes. Right.
I know we've only got a few minutes here. I always like to keep the last question open-ended and just say, like, you've shared so much knowledge, Jacob. I really appreciate this. I know for myself, it has a big impact. I know for the listeners, it will too. But let me just leave it open-ended. Knowing you have an audience of active duty and recently transitioned veterans listening, what else would you want to say that we haven't talked about?
Well, I would like to say thank you for everyone's service. I truly, when I was in the military, I just thought I was one of the bunch. And the longer I've been out of the military, I realized that I wasn't just one of the bunch. I'm someone who actually did make a difference in the world. And so I would say thank you, because it is a real sacrifice to join the U.S. Armed Forces and to support, whether you deploy or don't deploy, you're supporting and you're defending our freedom. So I'd say thank you there. In terms of advice, I've given so much advice. I'd say idea not coupled with action is not worth the brain cell it sits on. Think about that. Idea not coupled with action is not worth the brain cell it sits on. You can have the best idea, and if you don't act, it doesn't matter if you had the idea or not. You're going to fail. 100% you will fail. In fact, you will fail more often than you succeed. But what happens is, there is no such thing as a true failure when you learn from it. And I know those are things you've probably heard before, but through experience, they're truthful. And so I would say, act on your ideas, even if they're failures, learn from those failures and grow from them. And eventually, as they say, it just takes one, you know, just takes one good hit. And what happens is, it just takes one good hit that you, and it's not luck that will get you there. It'll be a culmination of all your learnings from all your failures that lead you to that one big thing. So there's my advice.
This is great, Jacob. Well, I appreciate not just the knowledge you shared with us, but I appreciate the example for the veteran community of seeing someone who has gone a non-traditional route. You didn't go that route of using the GI Bill for college, and it seems like you've gotten 10 different degrees in different fields in real life experience, and something that you can apply. And I know, based on what you shared, there's a lot that I can apply as well. And so for listeners, there's lots of information on the show notes, but Jacob Martinez is at Market Traders Institute. You can find it at markettraders.com. You can see what he's doing with his company, as well as resources that I suspect will be very valuable for a lot of veteran listeners to check this out as a potential career, as a potential side income, as a potential way to learn and challenge yourself. So I'd encourage you to check that out at markettraders.com. And Jacob, thank you so much.
Thank you, Justin, and thanks for your time today.
Surface, surface, surface.
Well, veterans, thank you for listening. Thank you for your service. If you're like me, you are extremely fired up after hearing Jacob's interview. I hope that you learned something that you can apply today to whatever you're doing. I hope that you got a shot of adrenaline for whatever you're doing, wherever you're headed. And I hope that you got that reminder of how important it is to commit to continuous growth. If you have questions, feel free to email me at justin@beyondtheuniform.io. Of course, at the website beyonduniform.io, you will find resources, you will find links to everything we listed here. You'll find a hastily written text transcript of our interview in case you want to refer back, and you'll find other great interviews as well. One last plug for Audible free trial for Beyond the Uniform listeners at beyonduniform.io/books. You will find your ticket to a free audiobook, no strings attached, and it's a way to support Beyond the Uniform without having to do anything else. Have a great week. I'll be coming back to you very soon with episode number 100. Got to gear up to share my own story, realizing how intimidating this is for everyone I've had on the show before, but excited to share my story with you soon. Have a great week.